Good morning. I desire an interest in your prayers. I suppose that for myself, I don't ever feel fully prepared to stand before you in the manner that I'm going to endeavor to do this morning, but desire a sincere interest in your attention and prayers today. I'd like for us to turn to the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel. Read a verse here in the 3rd verse, I believe. Maybe we'll start at the 1st verse. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. It came to pass while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. If I'm not mistaken, the setting here is that the ark was lost in a battle to the Philistines. The Israelites were oppressed. The ark spent some time in various cities of the Philistines before it made it to this point that we're reading about here. It says it was there 20 years. It's a long time. A lot of times we consider 20 years the span of a generation. So I believe that's significant. The people were feeling distressed because the ark was not in the place that it should be. They were feeling that it should be returned. They were feeling anxious, at the very least, over the oppression of the Philistines. And Samuel's advice was to them was to prepare their hearts unto the Lord. I think about preparation, and we have service camp meeting here for 10 days. And in all of the amount of investment of time and means and abilities that go into 10 days meeting, there's a lot more preparation than there is service here. We have to deal with deterioration and infestation and everything else on the temporal aspect around this old campgrounds, and try to contend with busted water lines and corroded connections on the electrical system and termites and all of those things. And there's mowing that has to be done year-round. They don't just mow the grass just before camp meeting. There's a lot of preparation goes into this. I think of the many times that my wife has prepared a meal, and something Brother Leslie said last night kind of reminded me of a scene I've seen many times, it seems like. All of the time that she spent preparing, and when the boys come in and they've been expending their energy and come into the house and they're very hungry, and one of these large kettles of spaghetti, I'm not exaggerating, something like that, can disappear real quick. A big meal that she spent time preparing, and it seems like hardly before there's no chance for the food to get cool. It's just consumed in a short amount of time. But there's a lot of preparation that goes into that. A lot of preparation goes into many things in our lives. We think of the time that young people and children spend preparing for an occupation, for a life, for their adult life anyway. And there's a lot of emphasis put on that, and I'm not here to promote or condemn any of that. I just want you to realize there's a lot of preparation that goes into that. A lot of time, a lot of decisions made as to what course you would take in life. There's a lot of preparation going into preparing for retirement. A man that I work with was telling me just recently that the person that comes by and gives us counsel as to what you ought to do and all this, he was listening to this person's sales pitch, I guess is the right word, for preparing for retirement and saving. And after it was all over, he said, well, just answer a question for me. How much money do you put back as in your retirement fund? And he said, well, I don't. This man was selling this service, but he wasn't applying this to his own self. The advice here that Samuel gave the children of Israel was to prepare their hearts. He didn't tell them to get a lot of horses. He didn't tell them how to build weapons of warfare. He didn't tell them how to become more analytical. He didn't tell them how to become more persuasive or more aggressive. He didn't give them any instruction in how to use their natural talents and abilities to be at a better advantage when they came in contact with the enemy. He told them to prepare their hearts. And as I look over the assembly today and consider my own life, I recognize that there's a vast push, there's a real pressure put on me to prepare my mind, my physical body, my intellect to address the needs in the future. There are many plans, there's many things that's out there to help us develop to be able to address the issues that we may be presented in our life. I feel like very good, solid advice for all of us here, whether you're 14 or 44 like I almost am, is to prepare our hearts. To prepare our hearts unto the Lord. I think of a verse over in St. John, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse there. Jesus was talking, I believe, to Nicodemus, and he told him that you must repent. If we look here, St. John, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse, it says, Jesus answered to Nicodemus' question of how he can be born again. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. In order to prepare our hearts for the Lord, we must be born again. We can't just turn over a new leaf. We're not going to be able to just acknowledge that we have been a transgressor and join an organization. We must be born again. And it has to be more than just a label or a bumper sticker or a name of some sort. It has to be a genuine birth in the soul, in the heart. I had an experience one time to go with a man that I knew to an AA meeting. And their method of conquering alcoholism is to own up that they are an alcoholic. And one of their tactics, one of their techniques or abilities, whatever the right phrase here is, that they meet together and read each other, read a written experiences and testimonies of people that are recovering alcoholics. And they take turns reading. And when they take their turn, they introduce themselves and say what their name is. And they say, I'm an alcoholic. And then they read some of their book. It's like testimonies or something. And we're going to have to own up that we need salvation. And it's going to be more than just saying, I'm an alcoholic, I'm a sinner, and continuing on in that path. There is a deliverance. There is a being born again. An alcoholic, and in Alcoholics Anonymous, they never get to the point that they say, I'm not an alcoholic anymore. They live their entire life telling people, I'm an alcoholic, even though they may have not had a drink for years. We have to recognize that God wants to create a new creature in ourselves. The scripture, Jesus was telling Nicodemus here, you must be born again. This is the way that we prepare our hearts. I'm not trying to smooth something over. I'm not trying to live with a handicap. I want to be a new creature. We must be born again. I think of the verse here in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the first three verses here. It says, we ought to lay aside some weights. It says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. It takes preparation to lay things aside. It says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, our profession, if you will. It says here, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Prepare your heart. Lay aside the weights. You must be born again. We must lay aside the things that hindered us, that caused us to get in a state of needing redemption. To prepare our hearts means to apply ourselves diligently to getting every detail and every obstacle out of the way between us and the Lord. I want to end up going back and reading what the results of that was, but bear with us for a little while here in preparing your heart. In James, the 5th chapter and the 16th verse, it tells us here to confess our faults. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We must be willing to confess our faults. We must be willing to prepare our hearts to lay aside the weights and the things that would so easily beset us. There are things that easily beset us just because we're human. There are things that beset us because we're men or because we're women or because we live in one section of the country or another. There are things that's more readily available to me and my surroundings that can beset me, can be an easy distraction. There may be things because of the family I was born into. Maybe natural tendencies or characteristics that seem to just follow generation after a generation. It says that Samuel's advice was to prepare our hearts unto the Lord. James tells us to confess our faults, and the letter to the Hebrews tells us to lay aside the weights, the things that hinder us, the things that seem to plague us. I'm sure that if we would all, and we have shared our experiences, where it seems like there are reoccurring issues that we have to contend with, reoccurring things that seem to crop up in our life that we thought we had victory over, we thought we had it under the blood, so to speak, and it may seem like it wants to come back on us. These are the weights, these are the things we must be determined to lay aside, the things it wants to hinder us. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, I think we want to look at about the 5th verse. It tells us to lean not to our own understanding. Three and five says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all our ways acknowledge him. Lean not to my own understanding. My own understanding can get me in trouble many, many times. The things that I think I know, the things that I think I understand. But the advice Samuel gave the children of Israel was to prepare our hearts unto the Lord, to lean not to their own intellect. It would be easy for you and I, if we were in the Israelites' position, to begin to contemplate what type of military equipment and military strategy would be required to defeat the Philistines. That's the way our minds work. That's what we have control over, is the things that we do with our hands and the things that we do with our minds. But the advice is to lean not to our own understanding. The advice from the writer in Proverbs. Samuel said to prepare our hearts. There were others in the Old Testament and times like this that went and got horses from other nations. They went and hired soldiers from other nations to come and help defend them. And it didn't prove out to be victorious. It didn't prove to be the answer to the problem. Samuel said to prepare your hearts. I wonder today how many of us are endeavoring to really prepare our hearts. Or are we instead contemplating what we're going to say or what we're going to do or how we're going to handle the situation if that hypothetical situation arises? It's easy to do that because, or it is for me, I'll just say it that way. It's easy for me to begin to dread a situation, to dread developments that I feel like I see. And it's easy for me to begin to try to prepare my mind for reaction instead of my heart unto the Lord. It's easy for me to contemplate, now, if they say this, I'm going to do that. And if they don't follow through with this, then there has to be something done over here. That's not preparing my heart. Preparing our heart makes me vulnerable from the intellectual standpoint. People can look on at the decisions that you and I make in our lives and they say, you ought to do something. You ought to put your hand on that. You ought to make some changes. And instead we find many times, or I trust we find people amongst us preparing our hearts. It's important to know how to prepare our hearts. In Romans, the 12th chapter, another very common verse to us all, a strong appeal is made here by the writer, 12th chapter in the first verse. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, not unreasonable, not out of line, not beyond God's expectation, but something that He's anticipating. I beseech you, an earnest appeal. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Didn't say this is your intelligent service. It said it was a reasonable service. In our different phases of life and preparation, we will be given advice of how we ought to prepare And I've heard this expression of more than once in my life, where the decision I made was not what other people thought I was going or should make. And their response was, I think you're making a mistake. And for you and I, if we were in the Israelites' position back there in the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel, I'm sure that even amongst the Israelites, when Samuel said, prepare your hearts unto the Lord, I'm sure there were those that said, I think this is a mistake. We need to build up our defense mechanism. We need to have enough equipment to address the need in an offensive manner. We need to be able to contend with the enemy that's coming our direction in a more satisfactory manner as far as equipment and training. But Samuel said, prepare your hearts unto the Lord. This verse says for me to present my body a living sacrifice. It says, and be not conformed to this world. The song that was sang there after prayer says, I'd rather be old fashioned. This says, be not conformed to the world. You know, it's old fashioned to prepare your hearts unto the Lord. That's pretty old fashioned. The modern method, the thing that attracts our intellect is preparing and having a plan in place. Having a itinerary and having a list of sequence of events and how we're going to address our situations. That's what our intellect tells us. That's what statistics will tell us. And even though statistics tell us, whatever they tell us, the advice I believe that we will find in the Scripture is to prepare our hearts. Irregardless of the educated people that tells us that what you're doing is a mistake. And you have got to have a plan of action. You've got to have a course mapped out. This says, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The will of God in the Old Testament was that people would keep their hearts in tune with Him, that they would be true to Him, to prepare their hearts to stay on the same page with God. And that's still true today. The Lord wants us to prepare our hearts, to be in a place that the Lord can use us at a moment's notice, that He can use us at His prompting and His direction to prepare our hearts that we're ready for service. I don't believe we're going to find instruction for me to be prepared with artillery or any of those kind of things. Now I'd like for us to go back to 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, and spend just a few moments here looking at some of this third verse. He says, and Samuel spake unto the house of Israel, saying, if ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you. Put away strange gods, worshiping other things. And the next verse says, the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. One writer says, in doing a little research about these two verses, is that Ashtaroth, the worship of Ashtaroth and Balaam, didn't require totally denouncing Jehovah. That it could be intermingled or intermixed with worshiping Jehovah. It was
a allegiance or something that you could partake of and you wouldn't have to deny the Lord directly. I feel that that's a dangerous thing. It's very dangerous to deny the Lord outright. And there are religions in our world today that if you're going to follow them, that you have to denounce Jesus Christ. There's more than one. There are religions out there, there are religious organizations that you'll have to deny the existence of an almighty God. But the worship of Balaam and Ashtaroth didn't require that. And there are things out there that would like to present themselves to you and I that doesn't require us to deny that Jesus is God's Son. There are many things that would like to get just some of your allegiance and some of your worship. Some of that was mentioned in the song the sister sang for us there. Fashions of the world. Ambitious. Accumulation. You can begin to follow that. And initially there's this reassurance that you don't have to deny the Lord. We can begin to worship our resources, whether they be financial or whatever they are, we can begin to worship our resources. And initially, we aren't required to deny the Lord. We can begin to worship beauty, physical beauty, and we don't have to deny the Lord initially. But as we follow down that path, we'll find that it's a consuming thing. If you have a motivation to be a millionaire, or whatever the current status of rich is, maybe it's a billionaire, by the time you're 40, initially you're not required to deny that Jesus is the Lord. Initially, you're not required to deny Jehovah, but it'll come to that. For you to step out and begin to use a talent that God has blessed you with, it may be in public speaking, and it might be in music. It might be in problem solving. It might be in some kind of sports field or something of that nature. For you to start down that path, there's going to be many people that's going to reassure you you can do that and stay in God's guidelines. And if you're not careful, if you begin to bow down and worship that thing, whatever it might be, you're going to find that you're bowing down to a strange God. That you've allowed your attention, your affection, your devotion, your focus in life to be altered from really worshiping the Lord and preparing your heart for Him. And now I'm consumed with whatever this other God is. It may be performing in front of people. It may be being the best that there ever was in a particular field. May the Lord help us to remember that these can all become strange gods. Prepare our hearts, it says, unto the Lord. I'll read a little more here. It says, and Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. This is after the people had put away Balaam and Ashtaroth. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted all that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. There was a real confessing of faults here. that James was talking about. There was a real cleansing of that idolatrous worship that initially started out with the idea that it could cohabitate with worshiping the Lord. He says here that Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Don't stop praying now. The Philistines had got wind that they were getting rid of the weights and the things that hindered them. The Philistines got word that they were confessing their faults, that they were repenting. You know, the Canaanite people were intimidated with the idea of a people that walked up to a flooded Jordan River and walked across on dry land and then just marched around a city and the city fell down. The people of the land of Canaan were afraid of that. And the world today is afraid of people. Satan is afraid of people that are really in tune with God and that God works for them. Satan is afraid of that. He's intimidated by it. And he uses every means that he possibly can to infiltrate our lives and offer us other gods, strange gods, Ashtaroth, Balaam, or whatever their names are, that initially they appear that we can use part of this, incorporate this in our life, and we don't really have to deny Jehovah to do it. But the devil wants to infiltrate us with that and get us absorbed with meeting the expectations of those strange gods, and we lose the power that caused the walls to fall down. We lose the power that caused the water to dry up and them to walk across on dry land. It says here, the children of Israel became distressed, that's my words, because the Philistines had got word of what the revival that was happening amongst God's people. And they began to assemble around them, came up against them. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offerings, notice here that there at no time was there instruction for Samuel to get your bow and arrows out, sharpen up your swords, or get the horses fed and watered and harnessed up. There was no instruction for that. It says Samuel was offering up the burnt offering. The Philistines drew near to battle. The world is going to tell us you're making a mistake. It's easy for me to come to the conclusion, I'm just talking about my own brain here. It's easy for me to come to the conclusion that if you don't start anticipating the need that's at hand, you're making a mistake. It says here to prepare your hearts for the Lord. But the Philistines were coming near against Israel. They were quite distressed. Samuel was offering a sacrifice. He wasn't getting people lined up for battle. He was offering a sacrifice. And it says here, but the Lord thundered, a great thunder. You know, the Lord opened up the Red Sea. And the Lord opened up the Jordan River. And the Lord caused the walls of Jericho that looked impenetrable to crumble. He has caused things down through time to crumble before his power. Amen. He has caused things that my wife and I have faced through our married time to crumble right before our eyes. Not because we were smart enough or capable enough to outwit the devil. It was because he had mercy on us and worked some things out. That my health that I enjoy today and the health of my children have been greatly impacted by the Lord causing things to crumble in our sight. And there are many here that have that testimony today. Notice here he says, but the Lord thundered, a great thunder. Because of why? Because they were preparing their hearts. Because they were confessing their faults. Because they were laying aside the weights, the worship of a strange God that on the surface looked like it could cohabitate with godly worship. It was something that was easily to get attracted to. It was something that had some sort of appeal that the people weren't prepared or they quit preparing for the Lord just long enough for this appeal to attract them. May the Lord help us to realize if we want the Lord to thunder, if we want the Lord to break down the walls and dry up the water, we must prepare our hearts. We must prepare our hearts. We must keep our vision on Him and not what we can accomplish in our own selves. It says here, but the Lord thundered a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. I don't think that means that the Israelites were stomping on them right then. It says they were smitten before Israel, right there in Israel's presence before them. You are sitting before me. I'm before you because we're looking at one another. And the Philistines were looking at the Israelites. I don't know if they were able to make eye contact or not, but they were right there. They were prepared to do battle. And it says here that the Lord thundered a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out. That's when they started chasing them. The men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came to Bethgar. And then what does that next verse say? And Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. It wasn't hitherto hath we persevered. It's hitherto hath the Lord helped us. So I'd like to say this to all of us, and to me especially, because I like to have things lined out. I would like to say this. Whatever you see on the horizon as something that would contend with truth, something that might overpower me, or overpower you, or cause a major rift or ripple amongst God's people, whatever we see, I want to tell you, the best advice that I know to give us all is to prepare our hearts. Lay aside the weights, the things that you thought you could take along with you and still claim to be saved. I think that one of the messages in the song that we heard before we started this discussion today was it would be better to play it safe and steer clear than to get too close and cause ourselves to be in a place that we didn't have the power. So I want to challenge you. If you're trying to step too close, whether it's philosophy or application of the world's influence in your life, lay aside the weight. You want to see the power? You want to see the presence of the Lord come in our midst? The collective power that comes here is because the Lord wants to come with each one of us. I believe that if the people had not followed Samuel's advice to prepare their hearts, I don't believe the Israelites would have been victorious just because Samuel had prepared his heart. There were prophets that were carried into captivity. There were prophets that lost their lives because the people didn't hear and didn't pay attention to the advice. But the people did. And if we as individuals will prepare our hearts, you come to camp meeting, and if you want to see some kind of demonstration, bring some power with you. You want to see the real moving of the Holy Spirit and souls broken before the Lord? Bring some power with you. Be prepared in your own heart. If you come, this is not a spectator sport. If you want to see the power manifested in our midst, you want to see souls saved, you want to see people delivered from afflictions, you want to see lives changed, then prepare our hearts. We're not going to be able to witness those kind of things just coming to see. It happens because the people prepared their hearts. In the fourth verse it says, the children of Israel did put away. The children of Israel, I believe, was talking about the collective group. It says, the children of Israel put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and served the Lord only. If you and I will serve the Lord only, prepare our hearts as individuals, we're going to see some dry land appear right in the middle of flood stage. We're going to see some walls crumble, and we're going to see some power manifested that others might say, I wished I was there and could have seen it. We're going to have to get out of the mindset of just looking and wanting to be there to see it. I hope you're here today because you want your heart prepared unto the Lord. If we will prepare our hearts unto the Lord, the power's going to be there. I don't have to worry about how much artillery I have and how many planes and how many ships and how much perfection that I have. I don't have to worry about all of that. If I prepare my heart, the Lord's going to start doing some thundering, and all we'll have to do is go in and clean up. That's what the Israelites did. And that's what I want to do with the help of the Lord. You pray for me.